But the story of the 87 Redskins, 30 for 30 with ESPN, was about the replacement players. Some people call them scabs. And one of the wins that they had in a three-game stretch was against Dallas with some of their star players. I think Dorsett, Randy White, and others who crossed the picket line. Washington beat them. But that group never received a Super Bowl ring. And it's been kind of a story, and that documentary didn't hurt to bring that back to light. And we're now joined by reporter, beat reporter Scott Allen of Washington Post. Their contributions are part of Redskins history. The 87 replacement players will receive Super Bowl rings. I saw the documentary, Scott, as well. This was kind of in progress anyway, but did that documentary kind of pour more fuel on the fire of what these guys maybe earned?
Yeah, I think it did. That Super Bowl, actually, in January of 1988, is the first football game I remember watching. I grew up a Redskins fan. I was 4 years old at the time. And in the years since, you know, until I saw that documentary, I had no idea that the replacement players never got Super Bowl rings. You know, until a few years ago, I probably didn't realize that the replacement players went 3-0 and beat the Cowboys, like you said. But that documentary kind of brought it to the forefront again, the fact that these players, you know, were contributed to the Redskins getting home field advantage throughout the playoffs. Some of them remained on the roster for a few weeks after the strike ended. And it was interesting. The director of the film actually said, John Dorsey, he told the Post before it aired, you know, I hope that current management sees this and kind of rights the wrong and finally gives them rings. And it was interesting in the announcement from the Redskins yesterday, President Bruce Allen said he was actually working with Dorsey, the director, to make this happen. So I think it definitely, the 30 for 30 documentary definitely had an effect on this decision.
How many of the players who were replacement players, and I saw a couple of quotes from Tony Robinson, who played at Tennessee, who was the quarterback in the win against Washington, have you been able to get any feedback from what this means to some of them or others who have sent you quotes from them?
I haven't talked to anybody since this happened. Tony Robinson and Anthony Sagnella, defensive linemen, were in Richmond on Tuesday to receive something from the Virginia General Assembly, a joint resolution basically commending them on their great contributions during the 87 season. It was during that trip that Bruce Allen told them, hey, guys, you're not just getting this joint resolution, which is a great honor, you're getting Super Bowl rings. And Robinson, the former Tennessee star, he told a Knoxville newspaper, the New Sentinel, you know, he said, there are just tears in my eyes. This is better late than never. It's something I never thought would happen. And guys that I had talked to before it happened, and just hearing them say, you know, what it would mean to them, this is obviously a very big deal for people who probably never thought this day was going to come.
Well, again, Scott Allen writes for the Washington Post in the story about the 87 Redskins replacement players. Went 3-0, including a win against Dallas, who had some of their star players cross the picket line and start to play when they started to feel pressure about the money. Daniel Snyder obviously has to be on board with this. Why was Jack Kent Cook at the time not on board? Was it because of his strong ties to the players and the union that they had?
You know, it could have been that. Obviously, Jack Kent Cook has passed away, so when Year of the Scab was trying to get it, you know, why didn't they get the rings at the time? They consulted his son, who was kind of involved in the front office, John Kent Cook. And the answer that he gave, I mean, honestly, it was kind of unbelievable. He said, you know, well, the league didn't give us enough money. It was something we had talked about, but we didn't get enough money from the league to outfit these replacement players with rings on top of the regular roster. Well, his father, his estate is worth $800 million now. So saying that it was about the money is kind of ludicrous, I think. I think you could be right that it may have been, you know, the Redskins players were really proud of the fact that they were the only team not to have any regular cross the picket line. And there are some players from the team who told me before the rings were announced that they would resent it if the guys that they referred to as scads were ever honored with rings. So I think it could have been, Jack Kent Cook kind of siding with the players and the union there.
What linebacker Raven Caldwell, at first I was opposed to them. I was opposed to them getting rings, but later on it was like those guys contributed. They won three games for us, and then here's the kicker to that. They should get them for just beating Dallas. Here we are 31 years later, and it still resonates as well. Darryl Grant, if they get rings, I'm very happy for them. And he was very much a part of that union. That was an incredible run in the 80s. Not only the Super Bowl that they won that year, but the Gibbs Super Bowl that beat Miami in their first ever Super Bowl win. That was a strong, tight, union-led team. I mean, they were tough. And they win two Super Bowls during strike-type years. That says a lot for the leadership, I guess, inside that locker room.
Yeah, it does. All the regulars who I talked to said that, you know, yeah, we're proud of the fact that we didn't cross the picket line, and it was all because of the leadership from Joe Gibbs. And, you know, those Super Bowls were won with Gibbs and general manager Bobby Bethard during their time together. And the 87 season in particular, Bethard deserves a lot of credit for the job that he did in going out. And, no, I mean, every team was kind of forced to find some replacement players at the time, but to find guys who contributed. There's a receiver, Anthony Allen, who actually wound up on the Super Bowl roster. I don't think he played, but he was at least on the roster through the Super Bowl, who still owns the Redskins' single-game reception yardage record. You know, he said it in one of the games during the strike, 222 or something. So the job that Bethard did kind of on the fly to bring guys in who would fit in. I mean, when the regulars came back, you know, they were kind of disgusted with these guys, but they were forced to kind of get along because some of them were signed by the Redskins for the duration of the season.
The guy who parks the cars at Redskins Park got a ring. The girl who answers the phone up front got a ring, and it's kind of ended up in a feel good story. The Joe Gibbs run, which we know had two runs with Washington, the first one that included the three Super Bowls, including a loss to the Raiders in one in a team that was 14-2. That hats, if you look back on it, would 87 have to be his best ever coaching job? Because three of those wins, they didn't have home field advantage. They had to beat they had to win in Chicago. Darryl Green ran back a punt return with a cracked rib that was cold, and that was the Bears team that was coming off, 2 years earlier, a great run. So they had to beat Walter Payton in Chicago on the road, but that has to be his best ever year of coaching, right?
I think it does. It was like the most unusual too, with the, you know, that break weeks 4-6, the Bears game, as you mentioned, kind of having everybody, as I said before, just kind of get along. They had, you know, the whole Jay Schrader, Doug Williams deal at quarterback. I mean, a lot of credit. Anytime someone talks about the greatness of Joe Gibbs, it's wonderful. It's incredible what Belichick and Brady have done together. But Joe Gibbs, you know, winning three Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks. I think that the 91 team, probably the best team of the Joe Gibbs era.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. I think the job he did in 87, coaching job, was the best of his career.
Washington, D.C. is a very heavy union city, I would believe. So how have the fans reacted to this?
Most of the fans actually, and this was starting from when the 30 for 30 came out, the ones that I heard from the most, the ones making the most noise on social media said, you know, yeah, they were scabs, but it would be great if the Redskins could honor them. And that was kind of backed up. Even though some of the players were against it, a lot of them said, you know, yeah, these guys did contribute. I would have done the same thing in that situation. You know, if I was a guy who didn't quite make it to the NFL and Bobby Bethard calls me up and says, hey, do you want to come play football for a few weeks? So I didn't really fault them for that. The most of the fan reaction that I've seen today has been positive. I reached out to the NFLPA. Their headquarters are in D.C., to see if they would have any, you know, official comment or statement about it, because you got to imagine it doesn't fit too well with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have an official comment. I think their feeling is, you know, they let the Redskins do, this management, current management, do what they want to do. They did tweet a few things today about how, you know, yeah, the replacement players made a contribution, but the contribution that the players who were on strike that year, especially that Redskins team that stuck together and did not cross the picket line, that they made for players and future generations, was even greater.
So one more thing. Scott Allen, Washington Post, on the story about the 87 replacement players all receiving a ring, which is a part of the, I guess you say, the aftermath of the 30 for 30 on ESPN. Yep. Washington, they had the run where they thought they had their next quarterback for a decade, and RG3 were the Baylor flagship, and we were all in the business of that year and what a run it was until the ending. And, of course, his injury, Kirk Cousins walks away. They let him walk away, basically. What is right now, how would you describe the mood of the fan base in Washington after, because Dallas hasn't been to a Super Bowl since they won in 95, Redskins since 91.
Yeah.
These are two proud franchises. At least they've won occasional division titles, but very few playoff wins. What's the mood in D.C.?
Yeah, like with this ring story, it feels like we're always talking about, always writing about the glory days. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is 30 years ago, and this is what – this is kind of qualifies as goodwill on the part of the team, you know. And at some point, if they don't win again, you're going to run out of these good stories to tell because nobody's going to be alive to tell them anymore. I think, you know, there's some feeling of with what this fan base went through with Kirk Cousins the last 2 years. Even people who kind of wanted him here, they didn't want him here if it was going to be another year, if the Redskins somehow franchise tagged him again and owed him $34.5 million to do this dance for another season. They didn't want it on those terms. I think there's kind of a feeling of relief. There was some shock at first when it came out that they got rid of or they traded away Kendall Fuller and the Alex Smith deal. But I think as people have read a little bit more about Alex Smith and figured out that this is not the Alex Smith who came into the league out of Utah and struggled right away. He's coming off the best year of his career. Some people say he's even an upgrade over Cousins, and now, of course, the stability of having him for 4 years. So I think that's sort of restored a little bit of hope, but they're going to require a solid draft. There's just ebbs and flows here. A lot of people hate Daniel Snyder, and they want Bruce Allen out. But in terms of the makeup of the team, I think most people are feeling good about Alex Smith at the least, which is a start.
Scott, thank you. Thank you for the time. Thanks for summarizing the column and also what's going on with the 87 replacement players. Have a great week. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much, David. You too.
You too. That's Scott Allen from the Washington Post. And the story...